Back at it, Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
Let's go.
In the building, man. We got some comedians in the building, legendary status. You know what I'm saying? The whole crew is stupid, but they funny as fuck, man. Big Ja, Craig Smith. What's going on, big dog?
What's cracking,
man? How y'all living, man? Appreciate y'all coming through,
life,
man.
Bro, I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for the invite, man.
Of course,
sure.
Man.
I wouldn't consider it an invite.
Why you say that? Why you say that?
Big Ja pressed me.
Hey,
stand up, Ja.
To the back.
Can nigga see me?
Hell yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah. What's happening, man?
Ja was like, hey, man, we coming on the radio show.
That's all it was.
They trying to give a dap.
And all I wanted was an only hand shirt.
Right.
You can get that. Yeah, you going to get that, man. I got that. I got you.
Love,
for sure.
Man,
appreciate
you. Love. For a handshake, almost put a nigga in a headlock. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. He didn't tell you to sit down.
Stand the whole time.
I can tell you what to do.
Yeah, I'm curious, man, because we've been talking about, obviously, all of us from LA area.
Yep.
Give people a breakdown, a rundown of individually who you guys are. I want to talk about how you guys connected, and obviously, we'll talk about the whole crew stupid in
sure.
the show.
Brother Smith, go ahead, Dougie.
You sure?
He said, nigga, what?
Oh, man. So I met Ja about 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah. Really?
He was in a club murdering on stage, murdering. And I'm in the back. I'm laughing the loudest because it was my first time seeing somebody who I knew culturally was the same as me, because it's a lot of transplants in L.A. doing comedy.
Facts.
So you don't really get a lot of us who know who Theo from the beat
right,
is.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fought at Summer Jam as a child.
Yeah. Right. Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, I don't know nothing about that.
But, yeah, so that's when I met Ja. I'm from Pasadena, California. You know, shout out to Dina. The west all side day. Of Dina.
Yep.
And so that's where I'm from. And I'm a rapper / comedian.
How'd you start coming up in comedy? Like, were you always funny, or people, you was always making fun of niggas, or?
Yeah, so I was always funny. Like, hooping, rhyming, and making people laugh. I've been doing that since I probably was like 5.
Yeah.
Since I was a baby. So I always was a good roaster. I always bagged. I moved around a lot, though, because my parents would break up and get back together.
Real toxic environment.
Yeah, man, you already know.
That's toxic love, yo. Toxic love.
So I was always the new dude to the school. So I would always have to hoop and bag for respect.
Yeah,
me too. Man, so you already know the struggle. So, so that's how I got into roasting and stuff. And then my dad is a hell of a roaster.
Oh, so you was getting it from jump.
Oh, yeah, but he don't even know. He just old school 70s gangster, you know, so he don't even know how funny he is. It's just all truth and cursing, but he cuts deep.
It cut deep.
Oh, my God, man.
What do you think? What's the most traumatizing thing your pops ever said to you?
Nick called me a bitch.
hey, that's cold game. Your pops, the king.
But look, though, but it was. But the circumstances warranted that, and that's what I love about my pops.
The circumstances warranted him calling you a bitch.
Because, look.
What was you doing?
As a man, you got to separate yourself from your ideas. There's you, and then there's the things you create. And once you create it, it has a completely different identity. You know what I'm saying? And even bullshit. So I stole his car.
You stole his car.
Oh, yeah. I
stole
his
car.
Yeah.
15 years old, wanted to go see a young chick, took his Eddie Bauer edition for a Ford Explorer out for a night. And when I got back to the crib, I had to reverse it and park it the way he parked it. But I didn't really know how to drive. So as I'm reversing it, I scraped stucco from the wall onto the car, and I didn't realize it. So a day goes by, and I'm at Skate Junction. Those who remember Skate Junction.
Skate Junction.
I'm at Skate Junction. My pops, man, he likes oldies. He drinks. He smokes. You know what I mean? But anyway, I could recognize his engine, the sound of his engine, from like a couple miles away. I knew he was coming, because the way he was driving the car and the music I heard, I knew Smitty was on the way, and I knew it was some trouble. And long story short, I was standing outside of Skate Junction. He got out of the car, and he was so angry when he pulled up. When he put the car in park, he didn't let the car stop. So the transmission was shaking the car when he got out. And he was like, "You stole my car, nigga. You a bitch." And he fired on me. Boom. And he nailed me. He Heisman. He put me in a Heisman position in front of a bunch of other kids.
Well, there you go, Greg Smith.
Yeah, I love you, Smith.
Hey, when you meet his dad, bro, you understand. He's every bit of that, man. Yeah. I met him, dog, and he exactly how he explains his pops.
He ain't call you no bitch, though, right?
Nah. Okay, just making sure. I ain't wrong him either, though. I'm sure he would. He wouldn't give a damn. What's up, man?
How'd you get your start doing comedy?
Man, like you said, I met Craig, man, about 11, 12 years ago. I used to live in the Bay. You know what I'm saying? I'm from L.A., but I went to school up north, Go Bears. And I came home to follow my dream, jump in this comedy game. Yeah. And then my aunt was like, you know, they got an open mic every Monday down there at the Comedy Union.
Ooh,
on Pico.
Yeah.
On Pico, by Roscoe. Like,
next to Roscoe.
Yeah, right there, next to Roscoe. Put 30 pounds on me that first year.
Man.
And so, we hitting that every night. And so I started going there. Get my little first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And shout out to Memphis Will. He was hosting that night on Mondays.
Memphis.
Back in 2009. Yep. And I met Craig, I would say 2 months after that.
Mm-hmm. Damn. And, so that was when it started for you. Now, when did you feel like this thing kind of developed even more? Because we had the comedy and we got social media as well. And right, things kind of picking up.
Two different things.
I know it's two different worlds, but explain to the world like how that transition happened from, you know, obviously doing stand-up to that, the social media shit.
Man, I'm a filmmaker too. Let me start by saying that.
Please. I went to school. One of the dopest directors out there. Yeah,
appreciate you, bro. And so I went to school for that. And then I came home and, you know, my goal was to write, direct, and do everything, you know, act as well. I got an agent as soon as I got back to LA back in 2009. And then, I was hustling, but I wasn't really hustling the right way. And I didn't know that until later on. I was trying to write, direct, and create everybody else's, or put everybody else's vision. Everybody else into my vision, which is cool, but without an agent, without, you know, film festivals, all your stuff will go unseen, potentially, especially back in 2010.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I was shooting sketches here and there, my goal was to try to get love by people having directing music videos, directing short films and stuff of other people's work.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until 2017, fast forward to 2017, where I was like, man, I was a substitute teacher. I was a bodyguard. I did security on my ears.
You were a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Okay, now look. I want you to continue your story, but I don't know exactly how I would react if I walked into the classroom and Miss Johnson was gone and you standing there.
In this case, it was Miss Sullivan. She dipped. Miss Sullivan dipped off math teacher, right?
Yeah.
And they
you
put
were
me in
a
that
math
class.
Teacher?
Yeah, bro. And just for the record, I'm terrible at math, but I'm a good teacher.
I don't know what that means. What the fuck does that mean?
Explain.
Meaning like I can learn it real quick and then give it to the students. And I can
because you're going by the lesson plan.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and shout out to Rodney Hall, man. That's a homie. He was my teacher's aide.
Yeah.
He was like a math whiz.
Bro, so what you're saying is you just winged it through the math classes.
But my class was probably the most successful class while I was there for three and a half years, because I'm a teacher of real shit. I'm just in the classroom learning that shit again. You know what I'm saying? Because mind you, I graduated in 2004.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? I didn't start teaching until 2010.
So you got to brushing up on those skills.
Yeah, that's what it was. Sure. Really, more so than anything. I taught history as well. I taught English. I was a sub, so I had to kind of like be well rounded. You know what I mean? So I was a long term sub. So I had my own classroom, own key to my class and everything. So I do a whole semester. I'm in that class. I'm in that school.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah. Did you ever find yourself, you know, shooting on the kids?
I was the goofiest teacher you had, and I was also the enforcer. If you got a line, it's gonna be a bad day for you.
When you was roasting the kids, did they roast you back?
Yeah, because I gave them that love. Yeah. I gave them that light to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, I wish I had a teacher like that, because I had some jokes with my teacher. Bro.
Yeah,
I had work.
I was gonna say, did they intentionally try to test you in those times?
At first, because initially no, because I'm my size, of course. But then they see how cool I was, and I was super lenient and everything. Then of course, you give them an inch, they're gonna take 4 miles.
Right. Yeah,
so you got to bring them back to that half an inch. Nah, nigga, it ain't going down like that. Yeah. So, and I worked at a behavioral center as well.
Oh, so you dealt with the badasses.
Yeah, level 14, the kids right before prison or jail.
Damn.
Yeah, so they say, yo, this is your last chance. You're going to come to this spot. And, you know, if you can get through this and straighten up, then you good.
Now, was the teaching and things of that nature, was that just a means to make money while you were doing the comedy?
I did everything that was, you know, flexible. Yeah. Outside of waiting tables and limo driving. But I was a personal trainer for years before I didn't gain 40, 60, 70 pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was a teacher. I was a bodyguard. I've been bouncing at security, I'm doing, I've been doing everything that, you know, allows you to take the time off to do an audition here and there if you need to. So teaching, substitute teaching, instead of just being the actual teacher, I was a sub, so I can say no today. I'm not going to work this week. I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's, I had to be flexible.
Now, before you get into, you were talking about 2017, and that's where you stopped, but I'm interested in knowing, like, the family. Like, what was the family like? You're talking about Pops is roasting on you. So when you're pursuing this now as a career, Craig and Big Ja, like, is the family supportive? Like, yeah, this is, yeah, I know this is what you want to do, and were they always there for you?
My mom, of course, she wanted me to be a teacher. Mm. She wanted me to go to
Stable.
Yeah, exactly. Same Morris job. Brown and or Howard and you know, all that. I went to play ball. My goal, I thought I was going to the league. You know what I'm saying? So
obviously,
that didn't happen. You know what I mean? But but so my and my pops is like, as long as you get your education in high school, do your thing. I do my part. I get you to college and. Yeah.
You.
My dad was a hippie. He was a hippie, though, so he was an artist. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's the type of dude that I come home, he watching CNN and smoking weed. Somebody let me see your homework. That was my pops. You know what I'm saying? So, ex-con dude. So, he wanted me to be happy. Mm-hmm. His goal was to give me the 18, make sure I'm alive. And I got you to college. So,
I made a productive citizen. You know what I'm saying? Cool.
Right.
Cool. Damn.
He was a creative himself. He was an artist. And he made jewelry out of like he was a jewelry maker, artist, a licensed barber. He was his thing was follow your dream, follow your passion.
Gotcha.
My mom was like, yeah, do that too, but you should also have a degree to fall back on.
Right.
What about you, Craig? Like, did you get some pushback from your family in pursuing comedy?
Indeed, you know, because I worked, I owned a truck, a diesel truck. I was like a 3 a.m. construction worker type of nigga. You know what I mean? So.
With your hands, all that.
Yeah, so, but I, you know.
Hardest working thing I knew, for sure.
So, you know, I was used to having a little bit of money or whatever. So the toughest thing about getting into comedy was the decade of not making no bread.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to do 10.
I got low. I started selling steroids to pro wrestlers, man.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I don't know the statute of limitations on that is, but.
Yeah. I'm joking with you, man.
No, I'm fucking with you.
Hey, and the way Greg talked to is believable.
Steroids
to
wrestlers.
I'm like, for real?
What wrestlers?
That's crazy.
No, but what I'm saying is that's a metaphor for how different it is when you choose to be a comedy from regular life.
Right.
Because the first thing you choose is rejection.
Facts.
Oh, the big facts.
Oh, 130, 140 no's a week. You know what I'm saying? And you have to, you know, just keep pushing and keep cracking. So,
patience.
Man.
Because the industry, niggas will talk to you crazy.
Right.
Or try to at least. And people forget like how, I'm funny. I'm on stage killing every weekend or every night. And so y'all up and coming. Y'all up and comers, y'all around. I see y'all trying to get stage time and all that. So a lot of times I see these dudes who are up there talk down in their face. Y'all niggas, they get bumped and stuff. Yeah. You about to go up into comics, but somebody come bigger than you and they get bumped in front of you.
Yeah.
And they'll talk to you crazy, not knowing like in real life, nigga, you would never say nothing like that to me. Man. But in this world of entertainment and comedy, I'm better than bigger than you because I've been doing this longer. Yeah. And so a lot of times that didn't really sit well with myself.
Those moments that you got tested, where was that fine line of like, okay, no, I'm gonna beat your ass, or like I know the pecking order in this. Should I play my role? Like how did you learn how to do that?
We just stopped. I can't speak for him. I can, but I won't. Right. But I was with him every day. Damn, okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you know, you gotta bite your tongue, and it's like, all right, we gonna step outside. You know, a lot of time we just be in it.
I'm the spark plug.
Oh yeah,
groove man.
So you don't want to throw the chair and kick off the shit.
Slam a nigga on his face.
I'll choke your mama out. If you disrespect me and she's standing next to you, I want to hurt you. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I'm not that crazy. But it was tough, you know what I mean? Because, like he said, there's like an unspoken way in Hollywood where the man who has the credits, everybody is pretty much, you know, on his jock.
Subservient to him.
So the blessing that we got being artists now that no other generation has had was social media.
Right.
You know what I mean? But for the first like 7 or 8 years of social media, I didn't really understand it. It looked like snitching to me. You know what I'm saying?
What?
It just looked like snitching.
I'm over here. We out here. We in the club.
On Twitter and on Facebook, the initial comments were said, it says, what are you doing? Or what's up? And then that's what you would actually put in.
I thought
that
was weird. Twitter was first. I was like, I'm not going to tell nobody where I'm at. I don't live that type of life, but I know people do. You know, and I had the homie tell me today. He was like, bro, I'm not used to learning people's names. I was like, what? He was like, bro, where I'm from, bro, you say your government name, we going to take you in the room and pat you down. Mm-hmm. Oh shit! I said, well, I don't live that life. I'm an ex college athlete. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I'm not from that.
I'm a schoolboy, really. Yeah, yeah. But I know dudes who feel like cameras and Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat. No, they don't do none of that.
You said, wait, why do you feel like it was snitching?
Well, just like that. What did he say? He used to say, "What are you doing?" You know, I just was used to my right. pops is like, mind your business. I come from that generation. Mind your business. I'll be home when I tell you I'm gonna be home. You know what I mean? Don't ask me what time, you know?
Yeah.
I get there when I get there. I come from that. You know what I'm saying? My business is my business, and your business is your business. So it took me a while, because I'm a knucklehead, to figure out how to articulate myself on social media, where I could have fun and do what I want to do and be crazy, but also disassociate my regular everyday self from it, you know? Yeah. But it took a lot of trial and error. And I'm going to give credit to this man right here, you know what I'm saying? Because we were on the grind for, I would say, a solid 8 years at least with really no real financial results. I was always jumping in back into a job for like a few months and working long enough just so I can get unemployment, then quit. You know what I'm saying? I did that shit for like four, five months.
Gone.
You know what I mean? Doing dangerous work, though, hauling like fuel and explosives and shit like that, but writing jokes while I'm driving, and I got 80,000 pounds of fuel behind me. Wow. You know what I mean?
Right, so you tripping.
Yeah, I was wilding, but I love
80,000 pounds
the,
of fuel.
The public was at risk, but I mean, I got these jokes on.
The fuck you mean?
Yeah, for real. But yeah, so just and then once I saw it work for him, I always believed in my abilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just never really trusted the industry, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't understand it. I don't have any family involved with it. I'm the first. Yeah. But when I saw him go, it kind of renewed my faith, because him as my boy, this is one of the most honest, forthright, intelligent people I've ever met, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so if I see something work for him, I know because of his moral outlook, I know that he's going to put the right effort in, and that let me know, okay, if you put a genuine effort in, you could reap some results. Yeah. Because nigga, everybody around was broke at one point, but nobody getting money, you know what I'm saying? Bro.
Now, I want to get into the social media aspect of what you guys do, but before we do that, I want to definitely talk about, like you just brought up, job being smart, right? And I remember, I think I was listening to Kevin Hart's podcast, Comedy Goldmines, where he talks to comedians and shit like that. And I remember him saying something about how comics are got to be the most intelligent people on the planet, because you guys have a unique job where you have to take a subject and then figure out the angle mm-hmm. to make it humorous to other people, right? Well, yeah. And then from all walks of life, like I could be white, black, Latino, whatever, mm-hmm. and I have to find this one thing funny about that you came up with in your brain, right?
Right.
That takes a lot of mental bandwidth, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to intellect, I've my own personal experiences with comics, and you find, like, what I'm getting at is, do you guys know the misconception about comics that you guys are just dumbasses,
right?
Or like, do people treat y'all like that, especially when in the industry, but then also on the street?
Without knowing, they do sometimes.
Yeah,
they'll say, "Hey, tell me a joke." As opposed to like, I mean, it's not like an MC where you say, "Be spit something." That's different,
right.
because rapping. I mean, because comedy is more so. It's like putting something together.
It's an art.
Yeah. So hip. So yeah. Singing and rapping.
I get what you mean.
But like, it's like instant gratification is comedy. Stand up comedy. I'm expecting you to laugh right then and there, and it has to be the right proper setting for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never been the comedy that I like to go to, like, bars and start doing open mic. I can do it. I've done it before, but...
Right, it's not your thing.
If people got their backs turned, they drunk, they over there playing ping pong, and you trying to tell jokes, some people can do it. And I can do it as well, but it's not something I enjoy. So I think a lot of people think, oh, you funny? So just be funny.
Be funny right now.
Not necessarily... I wouldn't go as far as saying that they think you a clown, but, like, it's more, if you want to hear me be funny, man, or see me be funny, come to my show,
my next show.
Right.
But they think funny is like, ha ha. Like, funny is not to laugh. Funny is an understanding. And it's also-
That's what makes it laugh.
And it's also an energy transference. So if the energy ain't there, you know what I mean? Like, he'll tell you, like, when we get on stage, you can feel when it's time to start telling jokes.
Mm.
And if you start telling jokes before that right energy transference happens, then the jokes that work every night may not work that night because you haven't really been in the moment and gave the moment what it was asking you to do. Just wait for it to knock and let you know when time is time, you know?
So if you've been in that situation and you know it's not time for you to jump on yet, right, but it's your time. Let's say it's a set, a certain set, and I'm assuming this is what we're kind of like getting at as well, but if it's not the right time and you're up, you got to hit that stage, do you still go and try to make it work or do you hold off and say, man, let somebody else go or like
oh, try to no, push you something can't up? Do it. It depends on the environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
If it's a taping, like a TV show taping, then that's all like contrived anyway. So you just get up there and do the taping. But if it's a show like and people are there to see y'all or, you know, it's just a comedy show, then I'm not rushing for nobody. So mm-hmm. if I got to stand up there and just chill for 10 minutes and tell one joke, I'll do that.
Right,
so you learn how to pace it.
It's about control.
Set.
They go. Yeah,
I used to be up there nervous. You wouldn't even tell because I had a good poker face when I first started. I'd be fidgeting in my pockets, not knowing what to do with my hands and stuff. Now I'm not shy at all, but it was more like I wanted to be funny. I wanted to make sure I remember my jokes and I hit it at the right mark.
Yeah,
and so I started instead of just going up there and going right into my jokes. I go up there and just stare at the crowd, and that was part of my joke. I would stare at like the meanest dude in the front with his chick. I just mean mug the nigga, and it's be quiet. So the music going on, the music cut off. I'm just staring at him, and niggas start laughing off top.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And it's not a joke. It's not even saying that's funny. That's super clever. It ain't clever at all. At that point, it became a joke a bit for me, but it started off as this comfort zone. Let me just try to be. I remember an OG comic told me, be comfortable with the silence. Mm. And I was a young comic. When you first start, you thinking silence is like you bombing.
Bro, radio, dead air is bad.
Always
so
bad.
Like, really? That resonates so much.
Yeah. Wow. Any maybe, silence is always bad.
Yeah. Wow.
I can always. Imagine because it's listening.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe that's why, but in comedy.
It's the visual too.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So
Now, you brought up something interesting when you were talking about I forgot what you just said. I don't want to misquote you, but you were just talking about the timing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you was like, oh, Craig, you were saying you'll take all day.
Yeah.
That got to be a different world when y'all pivoting into the social media because you got 60 seconds
right.
to give me the setup and the payoff.
Yeah. Right.
That was tough. That's why I never got in with transition. The Vine. Mm. That's why the Vine never really cracked off for me. Vine, six
like
seconds?
Five, 6 seconds. Yeah.
Oh, man, I tried it, but I was like, this ain't me, man. Because I come from the film world. I come from, like, the making the like, short film or episode or something. I can't say I couldn't do it. I got to a point where I was like, I wasn't motivated to keep forcing myself into the 6 seconds. And then 15 seconds hit on IG, and I was like, okay, maybe I could do 15 seconds.
You could do 15.
And 15 seconds is... Okay, cool. Then they hit you with the whole 60. I was like, oh,
I can do something with that.
I can do something with that. And that's kind of where it started. I was like, okay, 60 seconds, that ain't 3 minutes, but it's 60. You know what I'm saying? And so even that, 59 minutes, 59 seconds is really what it is.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out how to tell a story. And I saw other guys in the Vine world tell a story in 6 seconds. You
can see some
sticks. And I'm
thing.
Like, that's genius.
Yeah.
To me, I big up to them. Mm. So 60 seconds, that's tough. That's tough to tell a real story the way I do as a filmmaker, set up the... I do like a narrative, not just like a walk in the room, smack a girl on her ass, or push a dude into a pool, and that's funny. No, it was like you got to go up, set up, conversation, establish that me and you are brothers, but that's our cousin, and he tripping now. He ate up all the cereal. Yeah. You got to do all that in 59 seconds.
That's crazy.
Now, that's a talent in itself. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, either both E1 or whoever wants to talk about it, but did you guys do any research when y'all started to get into that? Like, look at the other guys that was doing it. Is there anybody that y'all respect that was doing it before y'all that
for
y'all
sure.
looked at as had the blueprint for man. How to do the social media comedy?
At the time, man, when I was not really grinding on my own, I was doing, like, more trying to direct. Rito Brown, bro. Shout out to Rito. Mm-hmm. Rito was a monster. Yeah, he was probably, I feel, in my opinion, he probably was the strongest at it, even with the Vines. With the 6 seconds and then the 15 seconds, he was a beast at it. And so I was watching him. And I remember when he had 2,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the day, he had 2,000 followers before he blew up to what he became.
Yeah.
And I really admired his work. I saw him put the work in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Craig, is there anybody that you looked at that was doing it prior or that you even drew inspiration from?
Man, I would say Jaws won because he got his cracking before. Me, I would also say, wow, maybe D-Ray's was going pretty decent. I would say D-Ray did his really dope.
I like the the I like the embracement because I remember who do we have up here?
Plastic Cup Boys.
Mm-hmm. We had a Plastic Cup Boys up here, and we were talking about that how a lot of comics aren't able to pivot. You get stuck in this one lane, and then that's it. Like, I only hit the road, or I only do stand up, or I only do specials. And it's like the ones that go can kind of maneuver between all of the lanes. You know what I'm saying?
It was. Yeah.
But then also when it comes to the social media, as far as y'all perspective, do y'all feel like? Because I remember there was a real narrative out there at one point amongst the comic community that wasn't real comedy.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like, it was almost like a shitting on the young niggas that was doing it type of thing.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever get any into that backlash?
Nah, because we was already established as comics already. Like, I wouldn't even say it wasn't like we were known. We was close friends with the bigger comics, like the Mike Epps and the Kevin Harts and the Cat Williams. I wouldn't say that. But a lot of them who didn't know our names knew who we were. We was every 4 or 5 times
saw
a week.
The face.
Every night.
Yeah. So they knew, hey, big man, big comic. Oh, big funny. Yeah. We was them dudes. So when we started doing our thing on the internet and we started coming back around the comedy club, they was like, oh, man, that's Craig Fan. Oh, the roast began.
Yeah.
You found, and then some people hit me like, oh, you found the blueprint because you're a comic that finally kind of broke into the social media world. And it's usually the other way around where a lot of social media funny actors or comedic actors, they start doing comedy off of, they got 500,000 followers.
That's
now they on the road doing
deal.
Yeah, so a lot of those comics are like, who is she? She's not funny. She's just a chick on the internet talking shit. As opposed to like someone, I wouldn't call myself a veteran comic at all, but I've been around. I've been around almost every, especially the black comic comedians, they all know who I am.
Right,
you know what
definitely.
Because I've been around since 2009 and telling jokes on these stages around the country, around the city of LA, you know what I'm saying, and Southern Cali in general. And so we didn't been in Arizona at the what's it does NBC Spotlight competitions. Sitting outside with 400 comics trying to get in and get your 1 minute joke off. We've been doing that.
Doing
Arizona,
the sucker stuff.
San Diego.
Time, yeah. Sucker stuff, trying to fit
American
in.
American Idol for comics, basically. Gotcha. We've done all that. Man. So all the comics, shout out to all the ones that are growing up, that are blowing up, doing their thing. I
appreciate and respect them. You. The system ain't for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I want to get into the All Dev Digital shit because I felt like that really, that exposed me to who you were. Like I told you when we first got here, I'm a fan.
I appreciate
them. I forgot what it was called.
Roast Me, bro.
Yeah. That shit is epic content. Epic content.
Yeah.
And obviously you became known as the Roast King. And bro, let me ask you this though. Has anybody ever got you where you felt like, okay, this went a little too far?
Nah. Let me take that back.
Because I see some brutal roasts.
Yeah, yeah. Roasting, I love roasting. So when somebody roasts me, I'm a visual thinker. So everything they say, I can see in my head. So if you're a great artist, I'm going to appreciate you because I don't compete with other men. I just do what I do.
Right.
And that's all I give a fuck about.
Yeah.
And if you like that, you like it. But the first time I ever got roasted into oblivion... I was in the third grade.
He remember this shit.
Oh, hey, my
you
God.
Tell me this. I know the story,
hey, no. Let us unpack this trauma. This trauma.
Yeah. It definitely started with pain because I was ready to kill somebody. So I'm hanging with older dudes because I was a bigger kid. So I'm in the third grade. They're like sixth graders. They got girls hanging around. I'm the young, dirty dude with the XJ900.
And pay that.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Oh my
so
God.
All these kids, they taking showers and trying to impress girls. And I'm just a young, dirty, light-skinned dude with XJ900s on.
Okay.
So they start roasting me.
Yeah.
And they roasted me for, it felt like 4 or 5 hours. Right? But it probably was about a good 25, 30 minutes.
Solid
as a rock, like as Vernon Simpson said. Mm-hmm. So I start crying like a buster.
Oh,
and I say, you know what? I got something for y'all. So I run upstairs to the house, and I grab the biggest knife in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
And I run down the stairs like, what's happening?
Good,
and,
then,
and I try to go to work, and my big homie Elton grabbed my arm, took the knife, put me in a little headlock and was like kind of giving me a noogie and laughing. And he explained what it was.
What
to
was
me.
Happening, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, these motherfuckers don't really, these people don't really dislike you, Greg.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is just all fun. And for some reason, from that day forward, I kind of got it.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, I just love the art of roasting. It reminds me of like the dunk contest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where somebody, I've heard people say, to me, the greatest roaster in LA history is Boo Capone. I don't know if y'all know Boo Capone, but I've heard him say some incredible things. You know what I mean? And then shout out to Chase and Gary and Darius. They're monstrous roasters, like a crew of people that I hung with for probably like a decade. And it was just hours upon hours of roasting. So when I came to Hollywood and decided to start doing comedy, then I went to All Deaf. It was like child's play.
Oh, yeah.
I was really?
That's for sure. This is nothing.
I got this. Right. You serious?
Yeah, like, line them up.
Yeah, you still talking about what I look like and my nose is big and my ears is... I'm on a whole nother dimension.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I just love the art, man. It really makes me appreciate, like, the human mind. It's almost like hearing Raz Kaz back in the day or hearing an ill lyricist and you like, bro, it took... If you only knew what kind of thought went into that idea, you know what I mean? So a shout out to all the roasters because I really appreciate the art.
Now, here's the thing, right? Speaking of that, I was on the first, I was on the pilot of Yo Mama.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
For MTV,
you
right?
You killed that shit, nigga.
I was on the pilot, me and my boy Smarts, my boy who actually hooked me and him up, my recipes on me, Smarts.
Rest of soul,
R.I.P.
We both were on that show. And when we first signed up for the show, I felt exactly how you felt. Because it was like, these are who you want me to talk to. You want me to talk about them? These. Like,
right.
We do this.
Yeah.
This is trauma. Right. We do this in the hood.
Right.
Just because it's Tuesday.
Right, 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 right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like you said, we pull it. And I don't think that quote unquote mainstream America understands the art of roasting.
No.
Because when I see the Comedy Central roasts, yes, like some of the shit be cool. It'd be cute.
Yeah.
But like I like the shit that really get in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you get a paper cut and you put that alcohol, it's like it's right in there.
Hit. Yeah, yeah.
It hit like right in there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I like dark humor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love dark humor.
And but then what you said about pulling abstract shit, I remember I forgot who I was talking to, but as far as the art of roasting, it's like child's play would be talking about your nose. Or like my name is DJ Head.
Bro. Right, right.
A
right.
head joke is like Bro, I've heard everything.
Right, actually. Right,
there's
right,
nothing
right.
original you can tell. Yeah. But, like, what we do is we take random items, like, and try to put it together to make something something that don't exist.
Right? Hey, real quick, man. Tell us the thing you said. Shout out to my nigga Chris Need, man. We love you, bro.
What?
On the first round was the first episode, the first season.
Right.
You told the nigga about the student film. Do that joke real quick, nigga.
I told Chris, because Chris is a metrosexual. And he's a great guy.
He's a great dude, bro.
But he's just too clean all the time. Yeah. He just put together. Shout out to my boy Chris. And I told him that you look like you let two niggas make a student film about the inside of your asshole.
Oh, man. Hey, bro. Hey, that's a regular bag, bro. We be outside.
No.
I said, bro, I ain't nobody messing with this nigga.
Bro, but see, and that's the art that I appreciate about roasting. It's that shit. It's taking like you build a storyline, right?
Right. Yeah. In like, one bar though. Yeah. One bar. Right.
And it's just like shit like that is the funniest shit ever.
That's I also told him there's an old white man in the dark corner of a bar waiting on you right now.
Right. That's my shit.
Wait, I see him. He'll like he's a theme roaster. He'll roast. He's not gonna talk about how fast you are necessarily. And if he do, it's in a whole different way. He's not actually talking about your weight. He's talking about your behavior.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like so, even with the whole Chris Neat thing, if he starts off saying you're a metrosexual, every joke is gonna be about
it's theme.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I love
bro.
That shit, man.
I love that shit, bro. And I just wish that more people understood the art of roasting because it's not about like, oh, you fat or you this. Yeah, and your mom is, you know, dumb. And like, nah, bro, it's just that type of shit.
It's not hating because there are people who have an error in perception that think, you know, people saying what's on their mind is hating. Yeah, no, it's not at that. All.
Not it's a love language.
It is.
It's a love language.
And it can also help you. Like, because look, it's actually it can increase understanding. Like, the more complicated the roast, if you understand it, I feel like it contributes to your abilities as a what would they call your dang? I can't even think.
You talking about the IQ?
What's that? When you take a test and they say read it, and then there's all kind of read this paragraph, and there's all kind of answers, and you got to pick an answer.
Interpretation,
that,
or
right?
What's it? It's something reading where you read something, and then you everyone has it. Is it what?
Comprehension.
Of course, they would know.
Comprehension.
I mean, what the fuck they was talking about?
Yeah. I wasn't comprehending.
I'm not following. I'm not letting go.
But it helps with comprehension, especially a roaster like me, because I put people in situations, and I just, I'm big on psychology, so I know a lot of weird stuff about the field. So, I may look at you and just diagnose you out the DSM. You know what I mean? I may hit you with a whole diagnosis, and you just think it's a roast. So that's what I'm about, man. So definitely.
Now, Job, man, you talked about obviously going to school, filmmaking, and now adapting to the social media. And I do want to get into the point, because earlier on we were talking about that moment that you realized like I wasn't going hard enough. But I do want to talk about theming, putting everything together as far as like your YouTube and developing characters and building this thing out, even with the show, the whole crew stupid. Kind of talk about those things and how those developed over the years. And I'm assuming that it happened after the 2017 as well.
Yeah. I know social media sketches, skits, and quick stuff. You got to keep ramping out these quick ideas, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But I grew up on TV,
right,
movies. So my goal was to make something as TV-ish as possible.
Right.
So even if I'm doing a sketch, it's going to look like a TV show from the angles, from the setups, and just the characters. So I know I'm a big-ass dude, right? So, of course, my biggest, the thing that blew me up was the Tiberius shit. You know what I'm saying? What it do, though? What's cracking with it? Yeah. So that was cool, and that's my comfort zone. That's not necessarily who I am as far as walking around slapping niggas up, but I can do that. And
it's
I know,
on brand right
there. Yeah, it's definitely so, and that's what people would expect from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I found once that blew up, I was okay. They fuck with that. Let me give them something else. So I started becoming like the boyfriend. And if I'm just a Debo nigga beating up everybody, that's not. It's cool. That's what it's what's expected.
It's gonna put you in a box.
It's gonna put me in a box. And I put myself in a box. So I'm not gonna do that. So but it's also not realistic if I'm walking around getting beat up by little niggas. You know what I'm saying? That's not. Not saying I can't lose a fight to somebody smaller than me, but I'm just saying in general. So the next best thing is your woman, a chick. So I'm thinking like Martin. I'm thinking like Family Matters or Honey. What's it? Home Improvement or Married with Children.
Coach.
Right. Yeah, Coach. All that. So thinking about, I need a set woman or a set wife, a girlfriend that's going I can blow up with. So the whole my next thing was I'm Coming Too. Uh-huh. Was a setting of me, this hood nigga with a girlfriend that's just as hood, if not more.
Uh-huh.
And anywhere I go, she on my hip. She can't let me do nothing. She don't trust me doing nothing by myself. I can't take a shit without her. I mean, she in there watching me take a shit. So I don't think about no bras. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, and that shit went too. So it went from Tiberius to this regular dude that got a regular job from the hood. And then he ain't got a girl that's on his head about everything. And it's super relatable. So I did that on purpose to make sure people look at me and not just a big ass Debo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, and God willing, it worked. You know what I'm saying?
Now let's get into the whole crew stupid. Now, that's a hell of a name, bro. The whole crew stupid.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be honest. When I saw what it was and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, I know what this is. Because I've seen it before, because I'm a fan of like group comedy. I'm a fan of sketches.
Yeah.
But what was interesting to me is the live element. And that's something that I think we're missing on the West Coast, which is why I wanted to be a part of it. Because New York running the podcast game, right? So me and him jumping that lane. You got like the 85 South show is like the only one. Shout out to them. Shout out to DC, my nigga, and all that. But they're the only ones in that lane of doing live in with audience, not just, oh, this is like SNL where you're doing sketches and then we edit it and put it out like as content, right? This is live. They got to hit live.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure both of y'all have done shit where it's scripted and then you can edit it on the back end. But when you're in front of an audience, that energy is different, which is why I wanted to even be a part of it. So talk about the formulation of the whole crew stupid.
Well, man, I just feel like I've been rocking with this dude for 10 years, man, plus. And I just know that we got great chemistry. Barry Brewer, I've been knowing Barry for 10 years as well. My boy Minx, I've been knowing him for half a decade.
Yeah,
and Ken Edwin, another Pasadena dude, he's from out this way. I've been knowing him for years. So I know we do this every day, all day. We could be in the room all day talking crap, especially with this dude, because he's correct facts for real. He'll have a whole conversation based off of random facts that are really true. He told me about a Liberian warlord that was a cannibal.
General Butt Naked.
He told me this. General Butt Naked. Look it up, bro.
Nah, hold up.
General Butt Naked, a real life man that was a warlord in Liberia, right?
Warlord, cannibal.
And he was a cannibal. And had a whole army of cannibals. Now he's an evangelist. And he told me that. I'm like, okay, he's a comedian, so he's working on a joke. I looked it up. It's on Vice. It's a Vice documentary.
Bro, the homie working on
Joshua Milton Blahi, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Wow. He's eating the hearts of baby girls and baby boys.
Unfortunately,
he tells a story about how he was, because he was the general of the of one side of the war in Liberia.
Yeah.
So he was a general. He was young, like 32. And so when he was leading his army, the reason they call him General Butt Naked is because he would have all of his soldiers sniff coke and smoke sherm. And when you smoke sherm, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes one of the things is it makes you get naked. You feel like you're hot. Yeah. So they would be on the battlefield with socks and shoes, butt naked, fighting wars.
AK-47s.
All right, so look, check this out.
So answer your question. Stuff like that, we could talk all day about, bro. What? And so I'm like, man, we need to, the whole crew is stupid, needs to be able to show everybody this, this the goofy shit we be thinking of and talking about.
You know what I appreciate about this, though, aside from everything you just explained, it feels L.A. It feels West Coast. Like, it feels like it has those elements. Like, it's very niche in the sense of course, everybody else can appreciate it and relate to it. But it makes me feel good, like, to know, like, oh, these niggas from around the way. Like, I know them. You know what I'm saying? Without knowing you, I know you guys. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Based off of that. Yeah. So, whole crew is stupid.
I miss Quick and Split.
Oh,
you talked about this the other day.
I remember when I found out Theo wasn't black. I was devastated.
Yeah. Oh, Moesha.
Right. We was like, whoa.
Like, wait, what?
Who's dude?
Right.
Who is that? But yeah, nah, you're right, man. And that's where the whole hood good comedy, I love it. That's my brand, man. And hopefully everybody likes it. I'm saying
the goal is
October 7th.
October 7th.
Inglewood, California, Miracle Theater, October 7th. Get your tickets right now.
Please do. How can they do that? How can they grab the tickets?
Go to thewholecrewstupid.com, get you a live in-person ticket, or get you a live streaming ticket.
Okay, so you got it for folks that want to check it out worldwide or even from their comfort of their own home.
Absolutely,
as well.
Perfect. For sure, perfect. Yep.
Now, before we wrap up, we do something called the Homegrown Head Scratcher, okay?
Okay.
These are elementary.
This is going to be perfect for Craig. He's going to probably know all these.
These are elementary school questions.
Actually, you too. To be a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Pressure.
Here we go.
So these are elementary school questions.
Okay.
We have the listeners call and guess if you guys got it right or wrong so they can win tickets. Shit like that. So even if you don't know the answer, take a second and guess.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to direct the question at you first, Big John.
All right.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Which animal cannot look up?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Turtle or tortoise?
No.
Okay.
It's a good guess, though.
You want to guess again?
Oh, yeah. I'll guess again. Which animal cannot look up? Yeah. Oh, shit. That was a great guess, my nigga. God damn, man. Hello, man. A turtle. I ain't never seen a turtle be like, hey, my nigga, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? They can do it. They can do this. You know what I'm saying? Shit. A warthog, nigga? Them niggas, they got their neck. A pig.
It's a pig.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah, nigga, let's just get it going, man.
I'm not going to make it in the cut, though, but.
Are you going to get the bullshit answer with the turtles?
Got you, man.
A pig ain't got no neck, my nigga. That nigga shit out of luck, nigga.
All right, Craig. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
What's up? Let me see. What can I give you? All right, here we go. Which animal cannot move backwards?
Ooh. Is it a land or sea animal?
Which animal?
Okay.
Can't move backwards.
Cause
this nigga's a thinker.
Well, yeah, most fish can't move backwards. They gotta go bam.
Ooh.
It wouldn't be something with legs. A snake.
No.
Damn. That's a good guess, though.
Niggas out here smart, man. But honestly, I don't. I can't never see the snake move backwards. Nigga. So you probably right, my nigga. Right. That's probably not the answer they got. Nigga. Right. It's probably one.
Birds can't fly backwards. You know what I mean?
On land.
Yeah. On land. So it has four legs.
I didn't say that. I said on land.
Okay. Elephants can't jump. They're the only animal that can't jump. So animal can't move backwards.
I like how he hit us with like three other facts in between
right,
that.
Right, right. Craig,
I'm like, wait a minute. Elephants can't jump?
I'm going to say a pig too.
No. It's not a pig.
Damn.
All right. You want to know the answer?
Let me give one more guess, man. Ostrich.
No.
All right.
All right. Next Damn. Question. Big job.
You said that.
Which animal goes bald like humans do as they age?
That's hilarious, my name. Oh, shit. Orangutans?
Monkeys.
Ah! Hey, my nigga. Hey. There we go.
Yeah, you got two right. I'm over.
Yeah, it's all good.
I'm over.
Hey, I got you, Craig. You ready?
Hell yeah.
All right. Which bones do humans have that are stronger than concrete?
Yeah. You want me to say that?
Which bone in the human body is stronger than concrete?
I believe it's the femur?
The thigh.
The thigh, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn. Nigga out here smart.
Yo. All right. Yo.
Yeah, nigga.
All right, this one is for Craig again.
Yes, sir. He said, we got to get this.
All right, who want this one? It's the last one. Who
wants
this?
Let's run it.
Yeah. All right, I got two.
Craig, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, this one is perfect. This one's perfect for you. What does HIV stand for?
HIV stands for, okay.
So fifth graders know this?
Mm-hmm. Fifth graders, this is an elementary school question.
Fifth graders, I can see that happening, especially now, nigga. There's so much bullshit going on in the world. Them fifth graders now be knowing about sex and transgenders and all that shit in fifth grade.
Maybe like 95.
Well, I know this, but wow. What Damn. Is the hive? What is the HIV is...
Don't be cheating. I know y'all going live, too. Don't look on the live.
The is virus. The I is human. V is virus. The I is... Man.
Damn.
Take a guess.
I know this, too, which is incredible.
You probably knew that shit in the fifth grade, nigga. Oh, you got definitely. It, nigga.
That's because that's when magic happened to be in fifth grade.
Yeah. Big facts, yeah. Damn.
Man, I just know virus. I know the other two.
If you had to guess what the H and the I stood for, if you had to guess.
My mind is not in the right. I took edible before I came. So I'm thinking hip hop right now, but I know that hip hop virus. Hip hop virus.
Hip hop virus. Is I intravenous?
No.
Okay.
Immunodeficiency.
Immunodeficiency.
Yes, sir.
Virus. Yeah.
Wait, what's the H?
Huh?
What's the H?
Human.
Oh, human. Okay, so I had human. Oh, damn.
I didn't hear him say human. My bad.
What else would it be?
Hip-hop? I didn't. Hip-hop,
yeah.
The whole crew is stupid, man. Again, where can they grab those tickets? I'm sure this is going to be the first of many, many shows, many dates. Again,
it's
how can
a monthly show. Yeah, we started October 7th in Inglewood. The whole crew is stupid.com.
Okay.
All right. The whole crew is stupid. It's spelled. Ain't no extra letters.
There it is.
The whole crew is stupid. .com and get your live in-person tickets or get your live streaming tickets.
Perfect. How can they get in contact with you individually? Is there anything else we missed that you want the people to know?
Yo, check it out. I got one of the dopest podcasts on the planet, Craig Facts. Checked out at every Tuesday and Thursday from 3:30 to 6 on my YouTube and Facebook. And it's also streaming. If you type in Craig Facts, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find the show. Also, on my Patreon, which is The Craig Smith, TheKraig, you can find, I got a roast domino league, and I also got my own sitcom called Big Head Craig.
Nice.
You know? And look, man, if I owe you something, get it from God. God, God,
God! Hell yeah, man. Big Ja, all platforms, IG, Facebook, YouTube, Big Ja, 2 G's.
Yo, I'm sorry. Something you just reminded me of before we check out, because you mentioned this before, and I think it's important to kind of talk on this. And in terms of the elements of the comedy thing, the sound bites to the max and you know, like those things. Talk about why that's important to kind of have that as well, bro.
So when you think of a Bay of Thirst, what's that?
What you mean? Sprite. Yeah.
Snap into a Slim Jim. Clearly, yes. Yeah.
Slim Jim.
You know what I'm saying? Dope.
Yeah.
Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
What's that? What's that?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's Biggie.
Ross. Yeah.
Because Ross did it. It's a kind of like a version of
Biggie. Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah.
I guarantee you that was on purpose, bro.
For sure.
So I started thinking like, if you don't know my name, you'll know my phrase. To the max. So a lot of times people are like, oh shit, to the max.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They might not know Big Ja. They might not know Ja Day. You know what I'm saying? So it was on purpose. You know what I mean?
You got a pretty name to be such a
And so you cut my shit at Ja, nigga.
You look like you only eat pork and beans.
That's it, nigga. And rice, my nigga.
And rice.
Right. Pork and beans and rice. But nah, it's just trying to brand myself and have people remember who I am even before and after I get into the room.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I just thought that was important. I meant to mention it earlier, but before we checked up out of here, I wanted to make sure we say that again.
Yes, sir.
One more time, how could he contact you?
Big Ja, BiggJah, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon. Snap into my Patreon. Go ahead and subscribe. Big Ja, 2 G's, JAH. Yeah, I'm going to get involved.
Big job.
To the Fred. Max.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate y'all coming through.
Go.
Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. We'll catch y'all next time.
Yeah. Yes, sir.